Welcome back to Gastroclass. Chill, gateways, hit that funky tune. Yeah, so today we were going to do Christianity theory, but then I didn't do enough of my homework for Christianity theory because I'm moving across the globe right after we record this podcast. In fact, I'm at the gate at the airport. They're calling my name, but I gotta do it.
Duty calls.
Yeah, I gotta do it for all of my gastro class students out there.
It's what the people are asking for.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, in my last moments, this is a theory that I've idly been thinking about, but I'm like, is this like, do I have enough evidence to actually say this? And then I realized that, like, that's the entire point of this podcast.
It's fucking gastro class, baby.
Yeah, I forgot our roots.
Evidence. We just need to hit it fucking ball, dude.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think is the biggest focal point of theories with the release of chapter 3 and 4?
Are you just going to give us a blank canvas here?
I think it's the relationship
stuff about the night,
soul.
I guess?
Exactly, Chill.
Okay, that's
the
true.
Roaring that's night. Who are they? What are their goals? Why do they aura farm so much? And I think that obviously there have been several credible theories about their identity, mostly centered around the Holiday family because of their design and the general mysteriousness of Des's disappearance. I have come to present an alternate theory, which I think may not line up as well with some of the obvious aesthetic components that we've seen from the Roaring Knight, but I think offers a compelling alternate view, especially leading up into chapter 5. We're going to pause on the latest bit of Deltarune, and we're going to go back to the very beginning. What is the inciting incident that sets off Deltarune, the events of, I guess, Deltarune as a whole?
Winding Gaster gets the soul and tells you to put it in a body. And then
put
in a body, you could put in Chris instead.
Well, okay, actually, you know what? That's the start of the game. I'm thinking about something a little bit more like this is where
the
this
dark
is where
world
this...
in the closet. Is that what you're getting at?
The dark world in the closet.
Yes, the dark world in the closet. And I think that it's a there's been a question of like why the fuck is there a dark world in like a random closet, in the school? And like there's this whole thing of like, oh my god, if they hadn't gone to get chalk, then this whole thing wouldn't have happened. Who asks Susie and Chris to go and get chalk?
No.
Is this Albie's night? Is that what you're getting at here?
Yes! So,
all right.
Let's go.
Okay. So I think that this character has always been kind of like, she's like this shy, nerdy, kind of like pathetic little character who people love because she's just kind of a dork. And in like Deltarune, we mostly get her interactions with, we mostly get a sense of her character through her interactions with the students, particularly Chris, and her being unable to kind of control them or deal with them, right? It's very much like this character is super lame and like, but in an endearing way, right? The exact opposite of what you would think of as the Roaring Knight, this confident, like, honestly kind of terrifying person who is the...
Kind of. Only a little bit.
Only a little bit, as a treat. But I think that Alphys makes sense as a potential for the Roaring Knight for a few reasons. I'm going to go through, like, the route that I followed to get here. So, obviously, if you want to like just go like, hey, plot-wise, Alphys kicked off all of the events of like Deltarune. Yeah, sure. I think that's one way to go about it. But I was thinking about the thing that people posit as, hey, this is the reason that it has to be Des and not Carol, which is the aura farming. People are like, mm-hmm. Yo, the knight is hitting those poses in chapter 4. that is surely the work of a young gun. And it got me thinking, well, I'm like, no, like, adults can totally be, like, loser nerds as well. We see this with, like, Asgore and stuff. And then I was like, wait, the biggest loser nerd of them all is Alphys. I think that if anyone would have, like, an alter ego persona where they explicitly are, like, flexing on people or, like, showing off, it feels like that would be, you know, Alphys Deltarune, who is so shy in real life, but has, like, this affinity and attraction to fiction, particularly superhero fiction, like, an which often features an alter ego. We see that she's lent Asgore a bunch of comics. She talks about, like, anime a lot. And even notably as compared to Undertale, where she's like, hey, I, like, in the anime reviews, she talks about, there's this thing called, like, it's like Mew Mew Kissy Cutie or something.
Yeah.
In the original Undertale, she's like, yeah, I prefer the first one, and it's very cute. In Deltarune, she talks about she likes the second one because it has a dark storyline and mature themes. I actually did not know this was different because I never played Undertale, but I saw a post, like, talking about this for unrelated reasons. And I was, but then it made me think that, like, yeah, okay. Like, though Alphys's role in Deltarune, like, in the, like, I guess in the light world of Deltarune, is a lot, like, less quote-unquote important, or, like, less, like, fraught than in Undertale. Personality-wise, she certainly seems to have, like, a lot of these similar traits, but also, like, hints at a vested interest in something. Like, maybe, like, chafing at what she's doing a little bit.
So I want to circle back to something you kind of skimmed over just to reiterate it for our audience. Caillou has not played Undertale, which is very funny to me considering he's on this podcast.
Hey, it's a Deltarune podcast.
Yeah, it's a different game.
All right. Keep going.
But yeah, I'm like, I should play Undertale for research purposes. That's something I want to do at some point. Alphys is also, like, good friends with Asgore. As we said, like, from lending the superhero comics, they both enjoy Mew Mew Kissy Cutie 2, and the fact that Asgore reminds her of a superhero, which has been talked about a little bit with regards to what will Chapter 5's Dark World look like, etc. I was also thinking that this kind of explains there's a moment that had me a little confused at the end of Chapter 3 was, why did, after basically, like, beating the shit out of our main party, whichever way you spin it, right, whether you win the fight or lose the fight, our main party gets their ass kicked, and the knight goes back to, okay, time to grab Toriel. Undyne shows up, and immediately the knight does, like, a full heel, like 180 turn, and it's like, well, let's get the hell out of here.
I really like this idea for the reasoning. Do you think she's upset that she has to sacrifice her?
Who's to say that's even her on the phone? But I actually think that, like, I think that, what do you call it? Getting back, this is a different thing, but I think that, like, the snippets we hear on the phone are, like, deliberately missing context in the middle that, like, makes them sound worse than they are, if that makes sense.
Like, do you think the real quote is, I feel so bad for the police because they sacrifice so much of their time towards making this city great.
So true! ACAB includes Alphys.
ACAB includes Undyne.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, but this also, okay, but then we're getting closer to, I think, a bigger question, which is like, oh, okay, all of these anecdotal details kind of fit, but there's two big issues that you have to, like, resolve or talk about. And the first one is, okay, then why the fuck are they doing any of this? With, like, it's a lot easier to draw a straight line with lots of other characters who have been implied to be the knight, because it's all centering around Des, the Dark World, and what potentially happened. With Alphys, I think Togor. And Togor Dreamer. But I think that, unlike Togor, I think that Alphys's potential involvement is related to Asgore Dreamer. Because again, we've established that like they are cordial and they are friends in some respect. And I think that it is entirely possible that, you know, either Alphys like ended up stumbling on the concept of a dark world herself, because again, she is, I think, of the adult characters in Deltarune, the most like lost or involved with fiction, right? Like she is like,
she's cooked.
Yeah, she's cooked. She's an utter nerd. Or simply found out about them through Asgore. And I think it's possible that she is sort of acting with Asgore to, in some way, either find Des, or there's a question of like why the knight was trying to like get Toriel, right? And my theory for that is that, like, even if, like, let's step outside the box of this a little bit crack theory for a second, right? And let's say, what was the knight trying to do with Toriel? And I think that no matter what, I think the knight is in cahoots or potentially working with Asgore in some way, because the goal is to get Toriel to, in a literal sense, wake up and see what's happening, right? Like, hey, dark worlds are real. This is what's like happened. This is why I wasn't able to find Des, and this is why I think I can still find her. I think that that's ultimately why that there was such a focus on Toriel, because it's all comes back to Asgore kind of deal and his thing of like, I can make our family whole again. But getting back into like I think it would make sense if then that was like Alphys's motivation for doing that at the time, because again, she like, Asgore is cordial with lots of the city, but it seems like Carol, Rudy are like the two people he talks to the most, and then it's like Undyne and inexplicably Alphys. Okay, I want to break for a moment to discuss thoughts, questions, concerns before we get into the like the, you know, the antlers in the room.
Yeah, okay. That was going to be my question, so I'm glad we're going to address that.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about, like, because there's another piece of dialogue. I don't know if you're going to bring it up when you're talking with Alphys, when she's talking about the Simpsons XP. I forget what it's called. It's called, like, the Simptons or something.
She has
the full giant box set. But the part that strikes me about it is that she says that as the series went on, they got like cool vehicles and they started fighting and the focus stopped being on the family. Mm-hmm. And that specific wording, this focus stopped being on the family, really strikes me. And I wonder if we could draw some parallels to that between her being upset that Asgore, who she's friends with, is not together with his family, and her wanting to, you know, help solve Des's disappearance to get the family back together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do think it's important to note, going back to Undertale, before we ever learned that Alphys is a thing for Undyne, her, like, initial, in the initial Metaton Death Crusher quiz segment, she does get outed as having a thing for the king. So that could also lend credence to the kind of allyship between Alphys and Asgore as it being romantic on the part of Alphys, as she is, I believe, a bi-girly.
Exciting drama.
She is a bi-girly, yeah. And okay, that also kind of explains at least like the association, because we see lots of the associations between characters, even if it changes like shape a little, like Undyne as like, leader of the Royal Guard is now like deputy in the police office, that kind of thing. Yes, okay. Anything else before we get to the horns in the room?
I have one thing, but I can save it for later.
Okay. So the obvious thing here is, okay, then why the fuck would the knight have horns? Like, Occam's razor, it is very clearly like a holiday family style, like reindeer horn, right? So, and I think Toby Fox, like, a lesser writer would just be like, oh, but what if it was, like, a crazy twist, right? Like, oh my god. I don't think that Toby Fox is the kind of writer to do, like, stupid fake-out twists, right? But, but what I want to propose is that this isn't a stupid fake-out twist, and the reason that Alphys takes on this form is because of another person that she thinks is cool, which is Carol Holiday, which I think lots of people are like, oh, the knight has to be Carol because, you know, it has to be a holiday and care. And like, there's a lot of like posturing that this chapter four does towards like, oh my God, is you get the phone call and then Carol comes home. Which there's obviously like smaller issues with that. But I think that it's incredibly, because we know that Carol has that fucking katana. I wonder if maybe at some point, like, because we know that, like, Rudy's family and Asgore's family were very close. That if Asgore, is Asgore only newly friends with Alphys, or was he already friends with her then? Or did Alphys, like, know Carol at some point? Because we kind of don't get an explanation for Carol having that big-ass katana, right? We know that she, like the
she used
dog
it for the fruitcake.
She uses it for the fruitcake.
She uses it to harass members of the public.
She uses it to beat up robbers who are trying to jump in there. And I think that, like, I think it stands out not just because of the katana, but also because it's, like, very unrelated to her current personality. You know what I mean? Like, it's all Christmas right now. My theory is that at one point, Alphys and Carol used to be comrade in weeb. And that's why, like, and that's why Carol has the katana. Like, I think it kind of falls into place if, like, there's no reason for her to have that reasonably unless you think, oh no, she's secretly at heart, or maybe not secretly at heart, but previously used to be, like, a huge nerd about this stuff. Which I think, it sounds ridiculous until you're like, oh, it could literally be that, like, she moved on from one hyperfixation to the next. It's like some, like, she because she got serious at some point, right? She's now, like, the mayor. But
at first,
like,
I laughed, but then I serioused.
Exactly! I genuinely think that, like, Carol as a character gives, especially because of how, like, uptight and crazy her home life is, like, her, like, I think it's hard to, like, visualize because her obsession is, like, with all of this Christmassy stuff, but I feel like everyone knows someone who is, like, you know, a hardworking, like, serious professional on the outside, and they come, and then you come to their house and they have, like, a giant, like, Sasuke poster or something on the wall, or like a giant Attack on Titan wall hang, you know? And it's like, oh, okay, you spend your money on that kind of stuff. I'm kind of like going in circles here, but I think that to me, the katana is like a question, which I think this provides one answer to. And it could just be that, like, hey, like, Alphys thinks Carol is hella cool and modeled it off of that. My second potential answer is that, and this is a theory that I've been thinking about idly as, like, independently, but, like, the knight as not, like, a physical being in its own right, but rather, like, getting back to the mecha stuff. Like, it is, like, a construct which a monster can use to traverse the dark worlds, potentially. Or, like, a construct that has some purpose, but that, like, multiple people are using. And so it could, like, my thought is that, like, the reason that the knight is being so much more aura farmy in chapter four is because Alphys is there. And, like, but the knight in chapter three could have literally been Carol. And it might have been, like, this was originally, because we know Carol and Asgore are, like, cooperating to some extent. It could be, like, originally that, like, Asgore and Carol were like, hey, we want to do something like this, but we don't have technical know-how, or we don't have, let's bring Alphys into it.
Yeah, and I guess quick question.
Let's bring in the high school teacher. She'll know what to do.
Quick question on that vein. So I think one of the key things about Chapter 3 and, like, the Knight lore is that we know that the Knight in the Light World is able to physically drag Undyne from your house to the bunker faster than two teens can follow them. And so my question with that is, unless you think that was Carol specifically, and Alphys is the one in Chapter 4, which I guess is one of your theories, how is that? Alphys is not doing that to Undyne. Alphys is not dragging Undyne. Let's be 100% not have guns like that.
Entirely fair. That's also why I think that, like, it's possible that, like, the Knight thing is, like, the Knight costume or Knight, whatever, like, if we want to, again, crackpot it as, like, a mech or an exoskeleton or a suit of some sort, yeah, you could say that maybe that gave some strength of some variety, right? Because I don't think that in like, the Light World, Alphys is fucking shooting stars out of her hands or, like, you know, like, creating, like, walls of blades or whatever. You know what I mean? But...
yeah, I get that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Now, I think an important question always when talking about theories is, like, what does this add to the story or what sort of, like, holes does it fill? And I think that the reason that I think it would be more interesting to me personally is just as, like, I think that Deltarune is the story of... it's a story of a lot of things, but I think if we're focusing on the Death thing specifically, it is, like, how places and people have to move past tragedy, but it always, like, sticks around and has, like, a lingering impact. And I think that, like, Alphys... how long has Alphys been teaching, right? She would have been teaching then. She would have known Death. And I think that I think it's obviously that's there, but I think it's also important for Deltarune in telling the story of Des's loss to also, like, talk more about how, like, show us more about how it impacted more people, right? I think if it was just, like, if it's Des, if the Knight is Des herself, then okay, yeah, there's stuff they can do there. But I think if the Knight is Carol, then it's like, oh, okay, obviously. Obviously, no, like, Des's family cares. I think that Asgore as a character for that reason is so compelling in Deltarune because we've only seen, like, little bits of it. But the idea of, like, his entire family life and his entire career and all of this being lost over this incident and him still being obsessed with it, despite not, you know, being direct family, is important to, like, this idea of the community that is present in Deltarune. Stuff that's, like, reinforced with, like, you know, like, I don't think it's a coincidence that one of the big features of, or, like, the big features of stability in the Dark World is this idea of, like, this castle town, which you are recruiting and bringing new people to as, like, the sort of, like, safe haven. I think that, like, there, because I think that there's lots of themes in Deltarune, but the fact that everything is constrained to this one town is, I think, something that is sort of not talked about a lot, just because I think people take it for granted as, like, yeah, that's just a trope, right? It's like, it's both a reality where it's like, yeah, people live in a place, dumbass, but it's also, like, in fiction, it's like, yeah, this is the town where everyone important lives. But I think that Deltarune is, like, as a story, playing with that a lot, both in its, like, A plot and its B plot, in terms of, like, yeah. I think that would be neat. Now, is this a pretty cracky theory? Yeah, for sure. Do I think that it has, like, some actual interesting implications that even if Alphys is not straight up the Knight, it could indicate some deeper level of involvement with her character in the future? Yeah. I think it was interesting to me to, like, go down the road of thinking about it. That's where I'm at with that. Where are y'all at?
Yeah, do you think Alphys, like, the whoever is, like, operating the Knight construct is literally, like, inside there, or are they operating it remotely?
I think they're inside there, based on the Chris dialogue. when in chapter 4
with, like,
he
taking
closed
off
eyes.
The helmet. I just don't know how Alfie's fits inside this thing. Maybe. I'm looking at a picture. The body types are not comparable.
I mean, maybe
wait, shut the fuck up.
Okay.
What is Alphys's main impressive creation in Undertale?
Metaton?
Yes. What is
a mecha suit?
No, but yeah, and what is Metaton's most impressive feature?
Oh, it's the legs!
It's the legs! Yeah!
Who needs arms with legs like these?
Yeah, see? Like, can you... I don't think that, like, sticking some stilts on there is anywhere outside of Alphys's capability.
Yeah, I also think, like, the Night Sprite, it's not, like, person size. It's, like, it's significantly larger. Like, she could just pop in there and, like... There could just be empty leg suit.
She would definitely have experience doing cosplay where she had to do this.
She would.
Real. But yeah, I wanted to say, in terms of the wider story relevance, I think that also brings up something that I was thinking about recently because I saw a YouTube video on.
Mm-hmm.
There's this video, I don't know if either of you have seen it. It's called, like, Fan Service in Deltarune and What It Means for the Future.
DM'd it to me and said it made them mad.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of ass, but, like, it's kind of fire too. But basically the whole premise of the video is that it basically said, oh, well, look at the Spamton fight. It's basically the Metaton Neo fight we never got to have. And like kind of extrapolated that one of the main one of the main theme of the fights in the game is to, like, explore concepts that Undertale couldn't, and points to, like, the Gerson fight as, like, here's this, like, really cool fight where, like, you're fighting against this legendary hero that we heard about in Undertale.
Oh my god, and it's like, you don't get to fight Alphys, like, but you fight Metaton.
Yeah, so
even though Alphys shows up, it, Metaton doesn't show up when you fight Azrael.
So if you go by this theory, This is the when we get, like, our unveiled night fight, it's going to be the Alphys Geno that we never got.
God, yeah. Yeah.
And I think also in chapter 3, the sword route having so many parallels to Undertale genocide could be related. It could all be coming back to Undertale genocide and, like, the fights we never got to have from there. The Gerson fight in Undertale Genocide where he says, I'm not stepping out of the shot because I know you can't kill me. Well, if you stepped out of the shot, that's what the fight would have been. The Metaton Neo fight. We're going to get, you know, presumably there's potentially going to be a Sans fight coming up because he's going to be important. Like,
I also want to talk about, like, Undertale Genocide with relation to Alphys, because, again, I think that Alphys is, like, a really easy character to overlook because she's, like, it's just, she's played for laughs or played for ha-has a lot. But in Undertale, she is the person who, if you do the genocide route, she saves all of the remaining monsters in the true lab. Which also has me potentially quite, again, like, if we say that she's the knight, then what is her role or involvement or purpose with the shelter, which, you know, as a construct has very similar implications to this arc that everyone goes into to protect themselves from some feature or calamity or whatnot.
I don't have anything to add. I think this is definitely not true, but it's cool.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I'm kind of
cool with that because, again, I'm like, I this is really stupid, but maybe that's the point of Gaster Class, where it's like, it's less about the end, the starting theory, and more about the details I learn along the way from bouncing it off of y'all. So,
yeah, I just want to say, have we considered that the horns on her helmet are a reference to her budding relationship with Chester Holiday, the oldest son?
So true, the middle child.
Is this another?
He has to be oldest, or it's like.
Oh no, he has to be oldest in this.
He has to be oldest. He has to be oldest in this case.
Is this some fucking? Is this another Togor thing?
Yes, this is another Togor thing.
No.
Yeah, it's they're Togor Dreamer and it's Chester Holiday. Those are the two.
Do you think Dirty Brother will make an appearance in Deltarune?
God,
I can't believe they killed Dirty Brother.
I hope we get to meet Baby Bones next chapter.
It's gonna be so fire. It's gonna be like Sans and his Sanslet. It's gonna be and Papyrus is
Sans
not gonna show
and
off.
Sans Jr.
It's gonna be Sans, it's gonna be Dirty Brother, it's gonna be Baby Bones, and it's gonna be Sans Jr. And they're gonna be they're those are the flowers. Those are the flowers in the flower dark world.
Oh, all the flowers represent one of the skeleton brothers. That's really good.
Yes,
and
that's
the one in the middle
guys.
Is Wingaster.
So true.
So true. And they're all in love with Alphys the Knight.
You know what? Let's talk, independent of Alphys Knight theory, now that we're just on Alphys Deltarune, I kind of want to talk a little bit. Because, like...
Yeah, shoot.
Alphys is, in some ways, like, a representation of one kind of player or one kind of, like, community impulse, right? She is the... Like, she is a fandom person... through and through. And I kind of, with how meta Deltarune is getting, I kind of wonder what kind of implications that could have, like, going forward in the story. Just as, like, or just in Deltarune. Because I think that, like, Undertale played with, like, the conventions of a game, right? But it wasn't so much about storytelling in the way that Deltarune is, right? Where it's like, Deltarune is very explicitly about the nature of stories and how they and their importance, how people interpret them, the way they change, and how them being read or perceived by different people is important. And like, I think Alphys as a character is almost like in universe one of the weirdly one of like the best positioned to act as a representation of that.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, I mean, you see Toby Fox is definitely not, like, above commenting on fandom via, like, the mic fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Alphys as a kind of cautionary tale of, like, in the whole themes of Deltarune so far are about escapism through fantasy or, like, you know, other various kinds of all the different forms of escapism, and Alphys is kind of escapism at the peak. It's escapism at the most, like, brain-rotted and pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think in a world where, even if we're just discussing Alphys, regardless of Alphys of the Night, it's like, I think there's a very real chance that she has a role, a meaningful role in, like, a future chapter, and she gets to kind of be commentary on, like, hey, this dark world is so great. I don't ever want to leave. I would love to stay here forever. And kind of be that, like, opposite to what Susie is going to have. Like, how Susie's whole thing is like, oh, I just want to keep doing dark worlds. This is great. And it's like, I think Alphys could very much tie into that theme in the future.
Okay, maybe a shorter one, but do we have anything else to say about this?
Let's wrap it up.
I think
this one speaks for itself.
Yeah, it's a short episode in, you know, in homage to our short queen, Alphys.
You all are busy people. You have places to be. We're gonna let you off early. Much like we all wish that our teachers would do in school, letting us out early. The episode about a teacher will be let out early.
But if you guys could take like maybe 5 to 10 minutes of silence just to ponder this whole thing, that would be really appreciated from us.
Yeah, moment
just,
of
like,
silence,
really,
please. Just
like don't do anything. Just kind of like sit and be alone with your thoughts and ponder Alphys Knight and how it
relates. It's a busy, distracting world that we live in. You know, it's nice to just take some quiet, contemplative time, and you can use that to think about how Alphys is the Knight.
Yeah, why don't you close your eyes? and think about Alphys.
Yeah, why don't we close our eyes and picture what Alphys is doing right now?